Travis Long,
yeah. What happened and how we're in a punt return drill, and he literally, it wasn't really a contact drill. He was just getting fit up and kind of stepped the wrong way, and I think he knew it when it happened, just because it's happened to him before. And you know, I don't think there's a real explanation for it, to be honest with you. You just feel awful because we've watched him through the whole process. He's been here the whole time. You watched him rehab. I think all the players felt the same way because they know how much he's got invested in this. And it's, you know, as I when I talked to him and, you know, on the field, and then when we got the final answer last night in terms of what it was, you really can't put it into words in terms of what it is. But he's going to get operated on soon. You know, they'll make a decision in terms of where they're doing that, and then he's just going to start the rehab process again. So
where does that leave the outside linebacker situation after the top two guys?
Same thing. We're just one guy down. We have six guys there. We have five. We also have Brandon Hepburn. We'll move out there a little bit, and we did that in the spring, and the same with Brad Jones. We'll take some reps out there, and we're looking to bring another guy in right now.
No,
Brandon Hepburn and Brad Jones will be the first two guys that will go out there right now.
Travis wants to try to keep playing.
Yeah, that's exactly what he expressed. I mean, the kid's got a passion for this game, and we're going to do everything we can to help him and support him. And again, I said the same thing last year. I said the same thing this year. He would have made this football team if he was healthy.
Jim, there's a report out there that you guys are talking to Sam Bradford again about trying to get a possible extension, maybe a shorter one done. Is that important for you guys to lock him up beyond this year, or would you guys be comfortable just letting this kind of play out?
I never discuss contracts publicly, but there was a report last week that we weren't doing it, so believe what you want to believe. I mean,
But is it important for you to
It's important for us to have a great day today, so we're never going to talk about contracts, and I never will. So
on Sunday, why didn't DeMarco take part in the team drills?
That was our decision. We do have a hydration status test, and he was a little bit high, and obviously when you see guys that are high from a hydration standpoint, then you kind of pull them back a little bit because that's when they're susceptible for an injury. So that was a training staff coaching decision.
Jim, in relation to players that have ACL injuries and then they reoccur, and how it relates to someone like Sam Bradford, do you just say that this is not related, or do you look at it as just further proof that guys who have ACLs are more prone to have these injuries again?
That's probably a better question for Dr. DeLuca, but in our talks with him, the chance is 10 to 12% of re-injury, so I would say Travis fell in that 10 to 12%.
Coach, there's been so much speculation and banter with the changes made to this team coming into the season. Does that change your approach to know that there's perhaps more of a microscope or more commentary to some of the changes for your roster heading into the season?
More of a microscope in Philadelphia?
I said that.
You know where we are, right?
I know this.
There's not any press conference in the league with this many people in it right now. We're all aware of that. So.
Made as much news this offseason as anyone could have.
We weren't trying to make news. We're just trying to make the team better. So.
That 10 to 12%, is that after any amount of ACL tears?
It was two, is the way it was described to us, yeah.
Chip, do you play Bradford like you would normally play a quarterback, or do you, is there the awareness that, all right, I may have to back off a little bit because of what he did?
We monitor Sam just like we do, just like DeMarco, every player on a daily basis, so all decisions are made on a daily basis. So there's not a plan, hey, when we go 2 weeks from now where we are, because 2 weeks from now could be different from today. So today he's full going, going to go out and do everything he can, and we'll continue to monitor him like we do everybody else and the team.
I know it's only been two practices, but with Marcus Smith, can you tell at all where he is from a mental standpoint compared to last year?
Yeah, I think he's obviously way advanced from last year, and he's not a rookie. But you could say that about Josh Huff and all those other guys that are in the second year, that, you know, it's neat to see them taking the young guys and kind of explaining things how they go, because it's not their – this won't be Marcus's first time going into the link. It's other guys' first time going into the link. But I think he feels more comfortable. He came back in really good shape, did a great job in a conditioning test, ran around the last 2 days. So, you know, we're excited to see how that progresses and what goes on, you know, with the outside linebackers to go along with Brandon and Connor.
Kiko Alonso some reps outside. What's the thinking there? That I understand the Bills were interested in that. Why are you not in?
Well, we're not the Bills.
Yeah,
so,
but I said
he just got here and is still learning our system as an inside linebacker. So,
is there anybody in the first 2 days that's opened your eyes more than maybe somebody else? Just the surprise of the first couple days of camp.
Surprises, no. I think everybody has trained really well in the last 2 days. So it's not that they didn't. I think they've done a really good job in the last 2 days, but that's what we expected out of them.
Chip, it's only been 2 days. Peters in April about how he came back to camp. What has he done differently? To, you know,
I just think he's and he came in the best shape he's come in his career. You know, he's at the best weight. When you talk to him, I think he feels the best. He's worked extremely hard on the strength and conditioning aspects, taking care of his body, I think, which as you start to get older in this league, you know, that's the key to a lot of it is you know, sometimes when you're 21, 22, you can do whatever you want and you don't have to get as much sleep and you can do all those things. But as you start to get a little bit older, you really got to be conscious of everything you're doing. And JP's been great with that. And I think he's in the best shape coming into camp as he's been. This being year three, better than year one and better than year two. So we're excited to see where he goes.
Chip, it's only been 2 days. Can you assess Tim Tebow's performance so far, what you see, what you like, how he's
been? Yeah, again, it's been 2 days. I thought he threw the ball really well yesterday. You know, there's a couple stretches in there where it seems like he's got a little bit more zip on the ball than he did when he was in the springtime. So, you know, we'll see how that manifests itself. But for those guys, especially them wearing red jerseys, you're not going to know anything with those guys till you get them into a game. And there's a chance that, you know, with contact coming and all those other things. So.
You said the other day that you went out to visit Tom House. I imagine that was scout Tim. Could you share maybe a little bit?
No, that wasn't to scout Tim. That was just to gather information on quarterback play from Tom. So it wasn't had nothing to do with Tim at all. We've done that before, you know. You see guys. We monitor guys, you know, in a lot of different ways, and there's a reason we do it. So if a guy's, we feel like isn't hydrated enough, which puts him in a more susceptible situation injury. That's what we're trying to do. That's part of kind of what our sports science thing is. Is we're trying to prevent injuries, instead of saying afterwards, you know, Joe Jones just pulled his hamstring. What was his hydration level? He was really dehydrated. Well, why didn't we know that before he went out in the field? You know, that's why we do what we do. So it's just a checks and balance system so that you can prevent things, because once it happens, you can't really get it back. So it's.
Did you learn by that? Is it a 6 week layoff, or was it
getting? No, it's just it's a daily basis. So your hydration is a daily thing. So it has nothing to do with 6 weeks on, 6 weeks off. He's probably the most conditioned athlete on our team. But if you don't drink the requisite amount of water and electrolytes and have them in your system, it doesn't matter how fit you are, and especially the weather. That was a big factor for us too. We had fed back to back going into 390-degree days. So. You know, just being real conscious of, you don't want to lose a guy on the first day. So just a medical staff, coaching staff decision just to help him out. He went through individual. So he started out in practice. And we would do the same with anybody. It's not that just we're treating him different than anybody else, but we have full monitors on everybody. That's why we have GPS systems and heart rate monitors and all those other things. So we can try to prevent injuries before they happen. Instead of after the fact, say, that probably happened because he was dehydrated. Well, we should have done something about it on the front end. What's that? No, they're only on the training field. And then your car, actually, because you had a really bad parking job when you came in here. Am I correct? Yeah, see? So be leery about Big Brother, because he's everywhere. Did you see his parking job, by the way? Oh, my God.
Jim, you guys made a lot of changes. There's obviously somewhat of a learning curve when you have a lot of new players. As you guys put on the pads today, do you feel like everyone's at where you want this team to be at this point? I do know it's early.
We think they're ahead, and I think what Billy put in defensively and we put in offensively, we're way ahead of where we've ever been from an installation standpoint. But I think it's because of the amount of reps we get in the spring. And we go pretty hard in the spring, but there's a reason for that, so that when we come back, it's not starting over again. You know, it's picking up where we left off. So we look at that break from June 18th to July 31st like we just had a long weekend off, and our guys picked back up. And, you know, the limited amount of mental errors we had in those first 2 days is really, for us as a coaching staff, was impressive. So I think we got a group that studies hard, and they spend a lot of time in it. They didn't take 6 weeks off, I can tell you that, just from a conditioning standpoint and seeing what they did in the first 2 days from a mental standpoint.
How's John Moffitt looked so far? I mean, you know, being two years away from.
Yeah, the one thing that is interesting with John is how quickly he's picked things up. He's intelligent, you know, and Stout will tell you the first thing. And now, for those guys, we haven't had pads on, so to say he can do this and this, he looks good moving around in individual drills without pads on. So today will be a better chance to evaluate him. But I think the first thing that kind of stuck out to us as a staff was, you know, how quickly he's picked things up. He's been in a couple of different systems in the National Football League, so it's a matter of transferring it into how we call it. But he's done it before.
Getting back to Brad Jones, you like him as an inside-outside guy.
Yeah,
what sticks out about him as an outside guy?
He's done it. You know, and I think there's tape out there. When he was in Green Bay, he did both. So it's not teaching him putting it into our terminology so he understands what the call is. But he actually has NFL experience of playing both inside and outside linebacker. So.
Are you getting
continue to rotate in more players at right guard? Looked like it was open Sunday and then Gardner yesterday.
Yeah, literally, and I say this, and I'm not of a – those guys roll them. The position coaches are in charge. I don't care who's at right guard with the first group. I don't care who's at right guard with the third group. I don't care who the quarterback is with the first group. I just – we want to get reps in, and we want to get taped down. We're going into training session three. You know, we've got – a lot more before we even get ready to go play the Colts. But from now until we play the Colts, you're going to see a lot of different guys in there, and you know, we'll figure out who it's going to be as we get going. But we also have four preseason games to evaluate them, and the games are the most important thing. You know, this is training them and preparing them to get ready to go play in the games. But it's live and for real when you get in a game, and that's where a lot of the emphasis from the evaluation standpoint will come from.
Is that coming along with
the ground? Is that going to be the same this year?
Yeah, well, we got four times to tackle to the ground. So against the Colts and the Packers and the Jets and whomever.
Coming along with his blocking techniques.
Who?
Zach Ertz, with his blocking techniques.
He's done a great job from a technique standpoint, has worked extremely hard on it, but we've never had pads on. So, you know, to his footwork and hand placement and things like that have really improved. But now when you get to days like this, it's now we'll be hopefully be able to take the next step with him. But I think he's really worked extremely hard at it. And what we could get accomplished from a blocking standpoint with just helmets on in the offseason program and in the last 2 days, I think he's done a real good job.
You have so many new faces in that secondary and so much change in the secondary. Do you need to accelerate the process of communication and getting guys to, or do reps just take care of that?
I think the reps is what the key is, because you can talk about it all you want at a slowed down rate, but that's not how the game is played. So the way we've structured our walkthroughs and the way we've structured our training sessions, I think it helps. And then all the three on twos and formation periods and all that. And then if you just watch, I know some of you guys, because Billy's in front of you, that's what they're doing in those teach periods of changing formations. And it's really that communication thing. And you know, it's really key for those guys in the back end. They've done a good job with it, but we'll continue to train that way.
Between now and the last time you spoke publicly, Brandon Boykin expanded on his comment initially and kind of brought it away from race and put it more on just you relating to players, and he had expressed some concern. Is there any concern on your part about that perception in your locker room, and do you need to address it in any way?
No, I said that. Talk to the players we have on our current team, but we have an open-door policy. I had a long talk with Brandon last spring, and he came in and sat down and talked with me. You know, you can come talk to me whenever you want to come talk to me. But we also have a pretty structured day where guys are in meetings, and, you know, I don't just sit and walk around and say, hey, let me go grab him, and we'd sit down and let's have a coffee together. I mean, when they get here, they're doing stuff. And especially in the off season, we're limited with our time. You get guys for 4 hours. There's not a time where, you know, we're all sitting around holding hands, singing Kumbaya together. I mean, we're in a meeting rooms. We're getting stuff done. They're in a weight room. They're getting stuff done. They're on the training field getting stuff done. And then they're out of there. So, you know, I think maybe if they expand our time where we could spend more time. But I don't think it's any different than any other head coaches in terms of where you are. I think position coaches, that's one of the things I miss about being a position coach. You get to be pretty close to your players because you're with your players all the time, you know, and that's a great bond to have. But as a head coach, you're not in those meetings.
Do you treat everybody the same, or do you treat them differently based upon their personalities?
I treat everybody just like I think I treat everybody how we should be treated, I think. You know, we respect everybody. Yeah, some guys talk more, and, you know, I mean, I could sit with Kiko for 3 or 4 hours, and we may not say a word to each other, but Kiko doesn't talk, you know what I mean? But that's just the way Kiko is. But, I mean, I've coached those guys. I coached at Oregon. I have better, longer conversations with Kenyon, but that's because that's what Kenyon was like. Kiko doesn't really talk to people, but that's what their personalities are all about. So,
sort of along those same lines, Chip, it was this time a couple years ago where you decided to back the Bradford and have to come back to the team. I wonder if you view some of the comments that have been said this offseason as a blowback for that move in any way, and now that you're 2 years removed, how do you kind of look at that decision?
I think that Riley made a mistake, and I think, you know, that's part of it. And we all backed him. Michael backed him. Jason Avant backed him. I think that's part of being in an organization and in a team, and that's, you know, I look at that as a specific incident, and he was 100% wrong, and it's those are things that should never be said, and I hope he learned his lesson, you know, and I think he regrets what he did that day every single day. I mean, I see that in him, but do I regret what I did in terms of how we handled Riley? No, we don't.
Do you feel like there's a connection between them?
There could be, but I don't spend a lot of time trying to figure out how to connect X to Y to Z and all those other things. We have other things that we need to take care of, so.
Okay.
Thanks, guys.